Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Welcome to another episode of the HR Chat Show. I'm your host today, Bill Banham. And in this episode, we're going to ask, what is stopping HR from becoming culture catalysts and truly driving innovation? And joining me on this episode is Margaret Spence, CEO and founder over at the Inclusion Learning Lab. Hey, Margaret, welcome to the show today.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here and I'm super psyched about our conversation.
Me too, Margaret. Me too. So beyond my reintroduction there, why don't you start by taking a minute or two and introducing yourself to our audience?
Sure. My name is Margaret Spence. I'm the founder of the Inclusion Learning Lab, but I want to consider myself a culture catalyst and a person that works with organizations to innovate inclusion. In a multi-generational, multicultural workforce, how do we help everyone feel that they are included, that they are not forgotten? How do we move beyond engagement to allowing employees to thrive and grow in the workforce? And how do we help HR navigate and manage employee growth beyond just being hired in the organization and the traditional steps that we try to create for employees? So my goal is always inclusion.
Okay, thank you. I opened up today's podcast with a pretty big question, and we're going to get into it right now. So in your opinion, what does stop HR from becoming effective culture catalysts and driving more innovation within companies?
In my view, from not only an HR practitioner desk, but also from a consultant's desk, is I see HR being stuck in this is the way we've always done it. While we innovate, we don't truly innovate into the business itself. We want to call ourselves HR business partners, and we want to be strategic business leaders within the organization. But most HR leaders have not ever left the HR-defined role to figure out what is going on truly inside of the organization. A lot of what stops us from being great innovators is trust. Does the organization trust us enough with innovation? Does the employees trust us enough to share their views without thinking that we're not advocates for them? And does HR understand the five pivotal voices that we have to have in innovation? And I don't know that we get all of that.
Thanks for tuning in to the HR Chat Podcast. If you're enjoying this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And now, back to the conversation.
While HR typically focuses on building inclusion within the organization, Margaret, do you feel that there is enough focus on how the functional role of HR supports inclusion?
Absolutely. I don't think that the functional role supports inclusion. And here's why. If you look at any of the HR programs, whether you're at the bachelor's level or the master's level, or if you decide to go on to do a PhD in HR, right? There are no courses built into the HR curriculum prior to starting the role that specifically defines diversity and inclusion. Most HR programs have one course, one DE&I, Intro to Diversity and Inclusion, right? And that's it. A part of the curriculum. We teach everything else. So when the HR leader gets into the organization and you're now the HR, whether you're a manager or you're starting at the very bottom, or now you're a CHRO, the level of competency required to create inclusion is not a part of your wheelhouse. And so one of the things that we've done with the Inclusion Learning Lab is say, what's missing from the HR conversation, right? What's missing? And what we find is there's five things missing. HR doesn't know how to be effective advocates for inclusion. HR doesn't clearly understand how to ally, and specifically ally for voices that are underrepresented. HR business partners, HR business leaders are not effective collaborators within the business to find people who really want to drive inclusion. We're not really great listeners to say, okay, what are we listening for? We often listen to react and solve rather than listen to understand the dynamics of what we need to be doing. And then within the learner space, which is what I talked about before, we do a lot of learning, but when it comes to action, we're not always able to drive effective action in the organization.
IEA Training is proud to be a supporter of this HR Chat episode. IEA Training empowers professionals in workers' compensation, absence management, and human resources. We help to optimize their career potential through leading-edge certification programs, classes, and webinars offered in on-demand and instructor-led formats. Start building your career success today with IEA Training courses. Learn more at ieatraining.org. And now, back to the conversation.
What measures, I wonder, can the HR department take to attract a more diverse workforce, and particularly attract more diversity when it comes to leadership roles?
While we tend to focus on the HR's role in attracting talent in the organization, right? HR's role is to attract diverse talent into the organization. But most HR teams themselves are not diverse. So if we are supposed to be responsible for inclusion, and we are not shining a light on ourselves as HR leaders to say, wait a minute, can my HR department that is not diverse, that has no diversity, that has never hired a diverse person on the team, how does my homogenous HR department now support and understand diversity within the organization? Inclusion and diversity starts with HR. If we are to drive change effectively, and if we are to drive innovation within the organization, then we have to shine a light on what we do as HR leaders. Are we diverse as HR leaders? Or are we piloting diversity for the organization, but not piloting diversity for the HR team itself?
How can the big guys help? How can the C-suite help? How can the C-suite ensure that HR has a voice at the top table to push through some of these initiatives?
One of the major things that I see from the HR lens and from the HR desk, every organization has, you know, five lens almost and five people that are in the organization. We have people who, when it comes to diversity and inclusion and multi-generational workforce and culture, they want the status quo. They don't really want to change. We have another set of people who want to sort of sit in the middle, be persuadable, persuade me on why this is important. We have people who truly believe in the process, and we have people who are partners and strategic about helping to drive the innovation and the diversity and the inclusion and the engagement within the workforce. What we often tend to do is spend a lot of time on the people who want the status quo. So if we are going to be effective HR leaders who are catalysts for change, catalysts for diversity, and catalysts for innovation, then we're going to have to really focus on who are our true partners, who are our true believers, and who is it that we need to align with to say, this is what we want. And even when we're not showing results, even when there's not immediate results being seen in the organization, these people will reinforce why it is imperative that we continue to do what we're doing, which is building a multi-generational, interconnected, inclusive workforce. And so HR has to now be able to say, who are my partners in the C-suite, in the executive suite? Is it the CEO or is it other areas within the business unit? So here's the question that I often ask HR leaders is, where is your organization's growth going to be in the future? Where are you growing? If you're growing into a multicultural lens, then HR needs to be at that table infusing the talent discussion into the sales discussion. Because what drives innovation is sales, and what drives innovation is future thinking, right? The futuristic, that can we anticipate AI before it comes for us is the question, you know, that kind of thing. That's where we have to be. And that's who we have to find in our leadership to drive inclusion.
Okay, so you mentioned AI. I don't think I have an episode at the moment going out where there's not at least some mention of AI, because it's a pretty important topic right now. So how does the HR department better utilize AI-powered talent data then to make better decisions when it comes to hiring better candidates, improving that attraction process, that hiring process, that retention stage, so that the workforce is becoming more diverse, it is becoming more productive, it is adding more to the company culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the things that we have to do as HR leaders is tell better stories with our data. We often lay the data down as numbers. And when we do the analysis of data within the organization's fiber, and we say, okay, here's what our data is showing. We have not enough women. We have not enough people of color. We have not enough, you know, younger generation in our organization. We're forgetting that our data is real people having real experiences within the systems that we've created. And so if we're going to effectively use AI can be used now to help us tell better stories. For example, if we took our data and we plug that into something like a ChatGPT and we say, analyze this data and give me the narrative that this data shows. And then if we took that narrative and then said, who are the real people that are inside of this narrative? And then we went to those real people and said, tell me your story. Tell me your story as a first generation college student, college graduate who ended up in our company. Tell us the why as to why you came here. Tell us the purpose that we gave you or we give you every day. We have to use AI and artificial intelligence to be able to take our data and turn it into better stories that innovate and get to the heart of our organization.
We'll be right back to this episode, but first, did you know that the NeoCase digital HR platform includes collaborative case management, business process automation, document management, onboarding, transitioning, workflows, and analytics? NeoCase integrates with core HR platforms including Workday, SAP, Oracle, and other third-party applications to achieve seamless user experience and automation, and we are proud to be a supporter of this HR Chat episode. Learn more at neocasesoftware.com.
Margaret, you have had lots of involvement in your career with Sherm, an organization that I've got lots of time and respect for, and I always try and get to at least the annual conference and meet folks in person there and sit in on the sessions and whatnot. Why is Sherm such a great resource for HR professionals?
Yeah, Sherm is a great resource because it gives you a lens and a training lens at multiple levels, right? I tend to combine Sherm with the Association of Training and Development, so I tend to combine the two. And one of the things that I see is we need to network with other people who are doing what we are doing, and we need to hear from voices. We need to hear from voices that is outside of our comfort zone. And that's what these organizations give us at these conferences, at the regional meetings, at the local meetings. It's that innovation. It's that outside of the box thinking. And it gets us out of our own silo. You know, a lot of times when we are working in HR, we're siloed within the HR department and we hear our own voices and we don't really hear the rest of the world thinking. And this is a great opportunity for the rest of the world to think and for us to hear and listen to how others do things.
Okay, thank you very much. We are already coming towards the end of this particular conversation. We'll just have to get you on again in the near future, Margaret. A couple more questions for you before we do wrap up, though. I'd like you now to suggest some specific steps that HR can take to not only become trusted advisors, change agents, and culture catalysts, and develop inclusive leadership skills. Don't worry if you repeat a little bit of what you've said so far. Let's use this penultimate question to ensure that our listeners have lots of takeaways.
Right. Yeah. What I think, what I feel, in order for us to become more strategic in the specific steps, I'm going to go back to what I said about the advocate, ally, and so on. HR has to become a specific advocate. We have to champion causes in the organization. We have to be an ally with empathy. We have to advocate for underrepresented communities and women more effectively. We have to be collaborators where we emphasize shared success in the organization, that it's not one person driving success. It is a shared success. We have to be better listeners and less speakers, meaning we speak a lot, but we have to listen more. And we have to learn how to withhold judgment in order to listen and become more effective. But more than anything else, we have to be learners, and we have to be curious and adaptable and willing to embrace growth and embrace change. We can't sit in, this is how we've always done it. This is the written policy that we have. This is how things should be. We have to really become more adaptable and expansive with our skills and our understanding of the workplace dynamics.
Thank you, Margaret. And just finally for today, how can our listeners connect with and learn more about you?
Yeah, great. You can connect with me at inclusionlearninglab.com. It's inclusionlearninglab.com. We have an online learning community at the Learning Lab, and we have a community for D&I leaders and HR leaders at Inclusion Learning Lab. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. I also have a podcast called Inclusion Unscripted, and we are live every Friday at 2 p.m. We're on hiatus right now, but we're live every Friday at 2 p.m., and you can download our podcast as well from the various podcast apps.
Excellent. And there will, of course, be links in the show notes. Maybe I can join you on your pod in the future and we can continue the conversation there, Margaret. But for now, thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you for inviting me.
And listeners, as always, until next time, happy working.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.